So one of the things we've been looking at, well, actually the thing we've been looking at this week as we head into Christmas, Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, is looking at this one element of the story of the birth of Jesus Christ. It's the one individual who tends to get overlooked when we talk about the things of Christmas, and that's Joseph. Joseph is the husband of Mary and is the surrogate father of Jesus Christ, of God in the flesh. And we've been looking at the characteristics because we can learn so much just from we know a little bit about Joseph. But this is the beauty of the Word of God. Even the little things, even the small things, even the things that don't the Word doesn't give a lot of space to, the Word still gives a lot of explanation. There's a lot that you can learn from even the simplest, shortest things in the Word of God. You can learn. And even though there's not a lot written about Joseph, we can learn so much about him and from him. And we can see his character, his nature. Now, we talked about how Mary, it was just an honor. And it says something about who she was and her devotion to the Lord. That God chose her to be the one who would be the mother of Jesus Christ. And in the same way, the exact same thing is true of Joseph. That God chose him to be the one who would be the surrogate father. The one who would be the father figure, the earthly father figure for the infant and child Jesus Christ. And we can see, we've already looked at some of the reasons why God would choose him. And you can even see, we've already looked and seen, some of the characteristics or personality traits of Joseph are the same things that we can see. Now, again, understanding, of course, that Joseph had nothing to do with Jesus. Jesus was flesh from Mary, but seed, it was the union of the flesh with the seed, the Holy Spirit seed in her. Joseph had nothing to do with it. But still we see in Joseph there are characteristics and traits that are very Christ-like. And we saw that with the fact that he was a just man. And even though he was a just man, he operated in mercy and in grace with Mary. We also looked and saw at the end of chapter 1, we're looking at Matthew chapter 1, she bore the son, Jesus, and gave his name gave him the name Jesus, and this was exactly what the angel had said in a dream, had spoken to Joseph to do. And we saw in that dream the great faith that Joseph demonstrated by believing the dream, and we looked at that in some detail yesterday. Today what I wanted to do is pick it up and look at it as we go ahead a little bit. I know traditionally we look at the story of the wise men coming to Jesus as being on that same night of his birth. And the reality is, more than likely, this would have been at some point at least 40 days after his birth. It could have been up to 2 years. So there's been some time between when Jesus was born and when the wise men arise. And that's the reason for why we believe that is a topic for another day. We can look at that another time. But the point is, there was some time that took place. And I want you to see exactly when the wise men come. I want you to see some of the things that we learn about Joseph himself as the father of Jesus. So this is in Matthew chapter 2. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, the wise men astrologers from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who was born the king of the Jews? For we've seen a star in the east at its rising, and have come to worship him." So here's one of the things right away that does tell us that Jesus was born, and then some time elapsed before the wise men actually arrived there. One of the reasons we can see, and there's many more, but one of the reasons we can see, some of the Jewish traditions also show us this, but one of the reasons we can see is the fact that they saw the star rising. In other words, the light of Jesus and that star of Jesus, the star that demonstrated or reflected the light of God coming, the King, the Messiah that comes from heaven, rising or being born into this world, they had already seen that. And that's what caused them to come travel. So the night of his birth is already passed. Now when Herod the king heard this, he was disturbed and troubled, and the whole of Jerusalem with him. So he called together all the chief priests, learned men of the people, and anxiously asked them where the Christ child was to be born. They replied to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it was written by the prophet." Skipping down a couple of verses. So then he, Herod, sent them, this is verse number 8, to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search for the child carefully and diligently. And when you found him, bring me word that I may come and worship him also." When they had listened to the king, they went their way, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east, in its rising, went before them until it came and stood over the place where the young child was. So they had seen the star at its rising. They had traveled, obviously, a great distance to get here. So there's been at least a number of days that have passed, but now they see the star again, and it guides them directly to where Jesus is. When they saw the star, they were thrilled with ecstatic joy. And on going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and they worshipped him. Opening the treasure bags, they presented him with gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And receiving an answer to their asking, they were divinely instructed and warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, so they departed to their own country in a different way. Now, clearly we know that Herod's heart was against. Herod's worried about losing. When Herod learned that there was a king of the Jews, well, he's the king of Israel. And he does not want to lose that power and that authority. He doesn't want to lose that. This is a threat to his throne, to his power. And so we know he wants to find the Christ child so that he could destroy anyone that would lay claim or could lay claim to his throne. So that's his heart and that's his motivation. And that's why the Holy Spirit warns the wise men. The Lord tells them to depart, to not go back to Herod and depart a different way from whence they had come. Verse number 13. Now after they had gone, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, and he said to him, get up. Now, I'm reading this to you in the Amplified Bible because the Amplified does bring it. It goes back to the original, and it uses additional words and sometimes even additional phrases to get the fullness of the meaning, because sometimes one word that we have that we read in English doesn't fully express what was intended by the original Greek word. And so the Amplified will add some words or even phrases to give you the fuller meaning of what the original Greek intended. And so I'm going to read this in the Amplified Bible because I want you to take note of this. After they had gone, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, get up tenderly. Now again, this is what the Amplified tells us that we don't read in the King James. Tenderly take unto you the young child and his mother, and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you otherwise, for Herod intends to search for the child in order to destroy him. And having risen, he took the child and his mother by night and withdrew to Egypt. Now, as we go on a little bit further, if you go down to verse number 20, we see that Herod then tries to destroy Jesus, the child, and he sends his troops, his soldiers, to the Bethlehem area. And there they destroy any child who's 2 years old or younger. And this is how he thinks he's going to destroy the Christ child. But, again, Joseph has been told to leave, and so he's already left. We go down to verse number 20. Let's go back up to verse number 19. But when Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. So here again we see that sensitivity, that spiritual sensitivity and awareness that Joseph has. And we've seen that throughout Matthew chapter 1 and 2 here as we learn about Joseph. This is one of the great characteristics we see, and this is an example that we can learn from Joseph. This is a great example for us for parenting. It's a great example for us in life, but for parenting, the importance of that spiritual awareness. Because there's things that Joseph could never know of in the natural. He could never know those things. He could never know those things, and not knowing those things, he could not properly take care of his wife and his child. But because he was sensitive to the spiritual things, he was able to take care of his wife and his child. He was sensitive to those spiritual things, and he heard the warnings, he heard the directions, he heard the instructions that God had for him. This is such a great example for parenting in general. Make ourselves sensitive. Learn to become sensitive. And we become sensitive to the things of the spiritual realm. We become sensitive to leading of the Holy Spirit by spending time in His Word and spending time in prayer. The more we spend time in the Word, the more sensitive we become to those spiritual things. So the example that Joseph gives us here is that sensitivity. Because he was sensitive to the leading of the Lord, he was able to be a better husband and a better father. Because he was sensitive to the Lord. Because the Lord could see and instruct him in things that he would never be able to discern or know by himself. That's a great example. But then also in verse number 20 it says, and said, rise. So the angel said to him, the Lord appeared to him in a dream, and said to Joseph while he was in Egypt, and the Lord said to him in the dream, rise, tenderly take unto you the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the child are dead. Then he awoke and arose, and tenderly took the child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. So here's one of the other characteristics or traits that we see or that we learn from Joseph. We learn and see, and we really get the understanding of this, the fullness of understanding of this, from reading this in the Amplified Bible. Because there's three times here, from verse number 13 down through verse number 21. So we're only talking about eight verses. In those eight verses, three times we see that God instructed Joseph to act tenderly, and that Joseph responded by acting tenderly. This is one of the qualities of Joseph. And again, this is a great instruction to us in life. It's a great instruction for us in parenting. And it's an even more specific, and I think a really truly important word for fatherhood. Joseph is the one who is the example for us. And we can learn from him. Joseph is the surrogate father. Joseph is the one that God chose to be the father of the infant child. And presumably, there was some years in childhood, of Jesus' childhood, that Joseph was still there. Clearly, he's not there by the time Jesus, and we know that Joseph was there at least through, in Luke chapter 1 tells us, I forget exactly the age, but it was a very young Jesus, a boy Jesus who was at the temple and was left behind. So Joseph was obviously a part still of that life, but we don't know. At some point, he was no longer there. He had passed on. Was no longer a part of that. But the fact that God chose Joseph to be the surrogate father, well, we can learn a lot about fatherhood by looking and seeing who did God choose to be the father of his son Jesus? And what are the characteristics and the traits? And what are the things that we can learn from the one that God chose to be the father? Well, one of those things that we do learn is that God expected and told Joseph to act tenderly as he took the mother and the child. Now, why did God have to instruct him to act tenderly? I think it's within the nature of women to act tenderly. I don't think it's within us as men, but it also often gets suppressed. Men tend to be more, well, here's the problem, let's deal with the problem, let's fix the problem. Men tend to be more active and let's take some action. And the emotions such as tenderness, well, if we can afford to give some time, then we'll use some tenderness. But the main thing is get this done. Well, God is instructing Joseph as he acts as father to God's son Jesus and husband to Mary. God's instructing Joseph to act tenderly because this doesn't come necessarily naturally for most men. And the fact that God instructed Joseph to act tenderly, and Joseph then did in fact act with tenderness, does say that it is within us. It is within us to have that tenderness and to act in that tenderness. But we just have to be mindful of it. We have to be diligent. We have to be decisive and decide that, you know what, I need to make sure that I allow that tenderness. I need to make sure that I bring that to the surface as well. This is a great example for us of what we as fathers should be. Because again, this is the man that God chose to be the surrogate father of his son, Jesus Christ. And he wanted someone who would act tenderly. And you also see once again the obedience of Joseph. Because as soon as God had said, if you go back to verse number 13 and 14. Now after they had gone, so this is after the wise men had left. Behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, get up, tenderly take unto you the young child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you otherwise, for Herod intends to search for the child in order to destroy him. And then in verse number 14 it says, and having risen, he took the child and his mother by night and withdrew to Egypt. And we see there that Joseph acted in obedience, and he didn't waste any time either. It says he woke up. So in a dream, he had this dream, and Joseph responded immediately. He didn't even wait for the sun to rise again. He got his wife, he got his child, and he moved on. These are some of the characteristics that we see in Joseph. Joseph has a small part from, you know, the number of references to Joseph. It's a smaller part in the birth of Jesus Christ that we're celebrating this Sunday, but it's a vital part, and it's an active part, and it's a part that we can learn so much from it. Jesus, we thank you that you demonstrate so much to us. You show us so much. You teach us so much from your word. We're always open. We're always open to receive more of you as you reveal yourself to us through the word. We thank you and praise you in your name, Jesus. Amen.